All right. Good evening. This is the June 10th, 2024 meeting of the WPFW Finance Committee. I'm Kamal Harris, Treasurer for the LSB and Chair of the Committee. And we'll go ahead and do our roll call. Try and call the members that agree that they would be part of this. So let me go ahead and get that. Is, oh, we got people coming in. Just answer up when you hear your name. I know it's small group, but makes it a little easier. Dennis Williams. Dennis. Tony Leon.
Present.
Lou Wolf. Lou. Julie Hewitt. Eileen Rossin.
Here, and by the way, it is Rosin, not Rossin.
Rosin. Rosin. Okay, got
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Not a problem. Sabu Hakim. I think I saw Sabu come in.
He's present. Here.
Present. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Got you, sir. Everybody. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Kathleen Malloy. Kathleen. Miyuki Williams. I don't think she's gonna make it tonight. I think she was not well. We'll see if she gets on. And that is our committee. So thank you for everybody else who's joined. I see you, Bill, Minerva. Appreciate it. So we've got our agenda tonight was to convene our meeting. We did our roll call. We're going to approve our agenda. We'll get a report from the interim general manager. We'll talk about the FY25 budget preparation. We'll hear, some motions from, our member, Tony Leon. We'll do questions and, then we'll adjourn. So that's our meeting agenda. Is there anybody who would like to add or subtract from the agenda? Hearing none, our agenda is approved. All right. So report from interim general manager. Don't see Miyuki here. So she did send me a few emails. So let me try and go through it from largest to smallest. We'll go that way. What I'm going to do is try and give you all the totals of the amount of monies that have been paid out over the last month. This actually probably goes back to April and May at this point. And so, if you all recall, when we met last, we actually had an outstanding rent balance of $70,069.97. That $70,069.97 consisted of outstanding rent for the months of March, April, May, and June. All right. So that's a 4 month period totaling $70,069.97. That has been paid in full through the month of June. So we are actually current right now with the lease agreement at 1990 K Street. Number two, second largest, is the transmitter over at the American University. As you all know, the transmitter rent, there was a outstanding check back in April for about 19,000 and some change. That was actually going to bounce if it wasn't caught. So there's that 19,000 plus another 18,000, 697.74. That covers the months of April, May, and June for the transmitter. 18,697.74, April, May, and June. So we're paid through June for the transmitter now. All right. Truthfully, I should have started with this because there's payroll in there. So since April, we've had five now through the 10th of June, five payroll runs. All right. The totals, let me get this straight here. The totals are I'm going to have to work backwards. So the most recent one, which actually is for June 15th. All right. So this monies are due to the staff on June 15th. And the total payroll for that period is $19,230.19. All right. So that's the most recent payroll. June 15th, $19,230.19. Then we have don't have the past one, so that's the most recent. I do have the healthcare. So we had healthcare for the staff that was also past due. The healthcare goes back to February. The funding for February was paid. February healthcare totaled $13,209.21. And March was also paid the same $13,209.21. As of right now, April and May healthcare is still due. Both of those each are $9,883.55. So you've got April and May outstanding payroll. We add those two together. Outstanding health care for April and May, $19,767.10. 19767.10. And it looks like the June one will come due in the middle of the month for another $9,883.55. All right, so there's that. The Pepco bill. So Pepco. All right. The Pepco bill, the current bill for May 6th. I don't have a more current one than that. This is the May 6th bill. A total of $23,657.37 was paid. Sorry, someone's coming in. One second. Oh, he went away. Okay. Pepco bill. Again, this is the bill dated May 6, 2024. The payments made were $23,657.37. See coming in. Plus another payment of $6,278. Total paid through May 6, 2024 is $29,935.37. $29,935.37. The new bill that's actually due to be paid on May 28th, 2024. So I need to ask if this has been paid yet. But the new bill is $8,787.43. $8,787.43. All right. Pepco, for the phone bill here. All right, the phone bill dated May 12th, 2024. Verizon, $1,819.84. $1,819.84. All right, and we have one more. Give me a moment, y'all. This looks like everything I've got in my email here from the GM, interim general manager. Yep, that's everything. So I know there's another phone bill I'll have to ask about, because I think there's one Verizon for like internet, and then there's another one for the actual phone lines and that come into the property. So I have to get some feedback on that. But I'll pause there. Are there any questions about some of the bills that have come out? Been paid. I'm sorry. And there's a telerep. One more before I take questions. There was a telerep bill paid $5,551.15. $5,551.15. So this is all emails. I don't have it organized in a nice spreadsheet, so I have to lay this out for everybody. I'm just getting this stuff today. And once we lay it out, I'll lay it out with the type of bill on the left-hand side, the amount paid, and then whatever outstanding balance, if any, on these particular vendors. So you all can have it in a nice, neat package. Any questions? I'll get to that bill. I got you. We got revenue. Go ahead. I see Eileen, Minerva, and then Tony. Go ahead, Eileen.
Yeah, since we don't have the charts in front of us, it's kind of hard to keep track. And so I was wondering if any of these amounts this month were, if anything jumped out at you as being unusual? Anything higher than normal?
Yeah, the problem we're having, and this is due to the turnover, and I've asked our leadership at the national level, they've taken over paying a lot of these bills. And so what I'm looking for from them, and I haven't gotten any feedback, I have not received any feedback yet, is for them to give us a schedule or access to the transactions out of which these bills are being paid. It'd be a lot easier to follow in that manner. And to your other point about the charts, the other piece that we still haven't had a chance for the national office to give us an answer on this, but we'd like to know how the coding was done by Annette and or anyone else assisting her so that the financial statements appear the way they do when we receive them at the National Finance Committee. So right now, we're looking to find who's going to be responsible for coding the transactions. My best guess, the interim GM is not somebody that is going to be coding business transactions in a general ledger sense. And so we need the national office to really put some time into this or just kind of, basically allow for line of sight on whatever's happening in terms of how the bills are paid. But what I have here is literally just emails about communication about what bill was paid with what vendor. So that's not organized yet in a nice, neat package, so we'll have to get that out to everybody. So to answer your question, I'm not really in a position to tell if something was up or down, based on prior history at this point, because we really need that coding done.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We've got Minerva, Tony, and then Miyuki. So go ahead, Minerva.
Okay, I need to, and thank you for Kamal for the report. How many employees or how many are making up this, payroll for the, people that they call staff? How many individuals make up that payroll?
Yeah. Give me a second. I'll give you a count. We have.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9. Looks like 10 total.
Okay. And are these, I know before there were some contractors. Is this including contractors or is this strictly staff personnel?
Yeah, the payroll numbers I read off are 100% staff. There's nobody in there that is a consultant or a contractor.
Okay. So we don't have that category any longer. It's just because of what's going on right now.
No, the category exists like on the financials, but what the interim GM has been able to do is kind of determine, and I'll let her speak for herself. She's here now. But what I believe she's been able to do is determine what needs were there And so, you know, we had a business manager or admin, I think, I'm not sure what her title was, that was uh-huh. consultant, and she resigned. And then, of course, there were a few engineers that were consulting, and it was determined that their hours were not, you know, not in the economic best interest of the station. And so they're no longer there. And then, of course, I believe there was at one point somebody, individual or firm, doing some sort of development work, you know, early last year, 2023, or, you know, towards the end of 23, that is no longer doing that work. So you're not going to see any consulting costs coming through at this point going forward. I don't know if that means that they'll never be there, but they're not there now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Tony, Miyuki, and then Eileen again. Go ahead, Tony.
All right. Thank you. So I'm looking at the February outstanding report, and I walked away for a couple of minutes, so I'm not sure if you mentioned these. But
sure.
There was an outstanding of $6,800 for BMI. Was that paid?
BMI, I don't show that as being paid on anything I have currently, no.
Okay. There was also for RRC and Nielsen, there was $6,900. Does that show?
Nope.
No?
No, sir.
American nope. University Tower?
Yes, that was the one we spoke about. That was paid through May. I think there's another bill. I don't have the current bill here, but at first it was a $19,000 kind of outstanding bill, and then mm-hmm. another $18,000 and some change was paid. So that should be paid through May.
Okay. And what about Central Services? Did you mention that?
Yeah, no Central Services. Again, no, there's been some back and forth. I think this committee knows, you know, the budget that was presented indicated that our chief engineer, which served as a portion of Central Services, part of his pay anyway, mm-hmm. was serving as a portion of the Central Services that was getting sent over, not necessarily sent to them, but because we were paying for the chief engineer, we were getting credit, so to speak, against Central Services. That now, chief engineer is 100% supposed to be paid by the national office. So we don't really have that rhythm yet in terms of how Central Services are going to get paid. That's part of what we have to really work on in terms of this budget for 25 and talk about cash flow. Because as you can see, a lot of money has gone out in the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, you really kind of drain your cash. There's not a lot left to kind of pay that money back to the national office. And also that back balance, Tony, I think we have an argument, potentially, I hope, to have that kind of forgiven, I guess is the right word, moving forward. So we'll try and figure that out. But right now there isn't any Central Services being sent up to the national office.
Got you. So what was the total expense paid out for May?
Right. And again, what I gave you is from emails. I have to lay this out in a spreadsheet, Tony, so I'll have to get that to you. To give you a grand total, that's not something that was prepared yet for this meeting. So we don't have that.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, no problem. Miyuki, Eileen, then we'll talk about revenue. Go ahead, Miyuki.
Good evening, everyone. Pardon my lateness. I'm having computer issues. And I thank you for some of the questions. I just want to do a couple of clarifications. We have no contractors at this point, as Kamal stated. And I want to also apologize. Kamal sent out a request to the business manager asking her for some of this material. And I assumed that she was going to get it to him, and I didn't realize that she hadn't. So that's why Kamal was putting things together last minute. I just forwarded to Kamal the emails of the things that I paid. And so that's why he doesn't have everything laid out for you. So that's what happened. I wanted to let you know that. At this juncture, we have no contractors. The last one we had was a young engineer person who was at the juncture where I would have to make him permanent, which would include health care as well as vacation and all those other benefits that he would have to be entitled to if he became full-time. Even though he's part-time, it would have been part-time permanent. And we didn't have the money to do that, so sadly I had to let him go, and I let go the other engineer previous to that. As Mal stated, we have had Mo on as a engineer. When I started on April 1st, I was told by both the executive director and the business manager that they were going to pull that out since he does so much work for the other affiliates, that we were paying above what Mo was contracted for, which was $2,000 a month. We were paying over $2,677 per pay period, so over $5,000 a month. And they said they would pull that out since he was doing so much other work. I received an email on Friday saying that they were going to put back half of that into our budget again. Now, I did write an email back stating that that wasn't what I was told at the beginning, and I don't understand what the circumstances are that they have changed, but I asked them to please not do that. And I haven't received anything in terms of reply on that. So I want to let you know that. BMI and the other things you were asking about, Tony, I was told by Mo to send that to the compliance officer, John. And so I'm assuming I have no responsibility for that because I was asked just to forward that to John Almeida. And so I've done that. And that's along with the BMI and the Nielsen ratings. The transmitter, I contacted the American University via email over now 3 weeks ago, trying to find out exactly the amount that I owe them, because there's the amount that we owe plus whatever in, late fees or interest rates. And when I contacted him, he did not reply to the email. And then I called and he said he was going to get right back to me. He never did. So what I did was I just paid the basic for 3 months. I just paid the basic normal rent for that. And so that's going to be adjusted. I'm going to owe the late fees on that too, but I wanted to get that to them so that they had it. So I took care of that. I tried to edit everything functional for our air to go. I made sure I paid. The other thing you were asked about, oh, no central. No, we didn't pay anything on terms of central services. And that, again, is a confusion for me in terms of how much we pay or don't pay Mo. There was an odd thing that happened last week. Last Monday, I received an email from Verizon saying that we had not paid them, even though I know that I had sent the money well in advance because that was a studio telephone. And they ended up, I received an email from Verizon stating that they were not going to, they disconnected our services. And I called the number and sure enough, it was not working. Luckily, it was during Kabash show last week and he was using Zoom to talk to his guests. But I was able to contact Markeisha. She was able to get it reinstated. Pay and make clarity. She told me there's an issue. I'm not clear as to why the payment did not go through. So I'm still trying to find that out. But basically that, and also with Pepco, the same thing happened. I try to pay all the, first I pay all the services that we have to be on air. And for some reason, those two payments bounced. And even though the system is set up with the Bank of America, I put money in the Bank of America. Markeisha takes the money out and she pays it from a different account, apparently. And for whatever reason, those two checks, there was a problem, but they were rectified and everything's okay with those. So that's basically where all those things are. And again, Kamal was not at fault for not having all the numbers laid out. We did make a request to Markeisha in order to have comparative numbers from last time and this time so that we could give it all, but she must be very busy or something right now. She never got back to us. And I was surprised. I assumed she would. And so I got the things to come out as quickly as possible. And that's the report that you received. But I just want to give that type of clarification. Was there anything else?
I don't think there were any other direct questions. So thank you, Miyuki, for that. There's a revenue. So the money's earned from the last fund drive. Let me pull that up. Fund drive. I'm sorry, Miyuki, do you have that? I thought you sent me the fund drive numbers. Oh, here we go. All right, we have the report that comes out by program, and the total total received through the fund drive is all right, a lot of moving parts. We have $226,329. The pledges by phone, $142,843. On the web was $83,486. So total on the fund drive, 226,329, $226,329. Any questions on the fund drive? Okay, Tony, Minerva, Tony first.
Okay, the Cash App account, how is that going? I know it wasn't set up the last meeting, so making any progress with that?
If I may, Kamau?
Sure, yep.
Yeah, we're working on the Cash App account. It's tied to when you set up a Cash App account. If we want to keep the dollar sign WPFW, it's connected to the original number that it was opened with. Therefore, it's connected to Jerry's number. We tried Satari tried to reach Jerry several times. She wasn't able to. Mo said that he would intercede on our behalf and try to get Jerry to talk to Satari to see if there's a way they can figure out to get that same dollar sign Cash App back on, but as of, it was too tenuous to try to get it together before the drive. We weren't able to succeed and do that, so that's why the Cash App isn't working.
So is there a plan to
yes, I mean, we have to
get a different one.
Right now we have to at least close that one. And again, Jerry was not responding to Satari's calls. Last week Mo said that he said he would intercede. And then Satari was sick for the rest of the week last week. So we haven't moved any since the drive, we haven't done any more, but we are addressing it.
What happens if you can't close it?
Can't close it. We'll just do something, figure out a different name or something to do with it. But Initially, it's a great appeal for younger people, especially when Lance or when we did that special house music and things like that. But there's an issue with the Cash App because any person can make whatever moniker they want. It could be, you know, Hello Miyuki or something. And so therefore it's not a good tax document. So we were thinking about dispensing it anyway, but a lot of people, young people in particular, like using it. So we thought about bringing it back. We're trying to look at other alternatives. Zelle was not an option. I can't remember why. The bank wouldn't accept it or something. For our business account wouldn't accept it. And I forgot what other ones we looked into. But, you know, for the short, quick hit, you know, we made decent, you know, sometimes as much as $40,000 per drive. So it's something that we're still investigating. But first we have to either close the other one out completely or transfer it to another number, which I don't think is possible, or just come up with a whole brand new account. So we're working on it, Tony. The drive came about and we thought we had it addressed. And when we found out we didn't, we shut it down in the middle of the drive. And then in drive time, it's just very difficult to, you know, keep more than four or five balls up at a time. So we couldn't get back. We didn't get back to it. And again, as I stated, you know, Satari was very, I was sick all last week.
What is the tax implication that you just mentioned?
You know, like if you, I don't know if you have a Cash App account, but you can make your Cash App account Tony123 or Hello Tony or something like that. It's not good enough to suffice the IRS. So when you show a receipt of your Cash App, it doesn't say Tony Leon. And so because it's not, well, go ahead. You better explain. I'm sorry, Kamau.
Yeah. So basically what the Cash App does not allow for is a clean letter of receipt of your donation to be sent back to you. We do ask a lot of times for emails, you know, in the memo field, so on and so forth. But because you're not able to identify the donor, that donation is not a tax-exempt contribution. And therefore, you know, someone could give a dollar or $1 million via Cash App. And the IRS is not going to accept that dollar amount as a true donor or donation or a tax-exempt contribution or tax-deductible, contributions. Hmm. That's the problem.
So you would have to do the identification, like, separately in order to send a receipt to the owner? Would that work? I know it's more work, but... is that a solution?
Nah, the IRS has deemed this an issue that they're telling the nonprofits that your Cash App or any of the peer-to-peer money sharing apps, you know, I think of Venmo as well, all these kind of factor in there. They just basically have X those out as a way to get a tax deductible contribution. So even if you said, hey, I'm, you know, Rebel 456, it's actually me, Kamau Harris, the IRS isn't, I mean, you could do that with anything, right? All those contributions that come in that way, you could start putting names to it. So they just basically have said, you know what, you're not going to get the binning. You can do it. And they're not going to tax us. They being the IRS are not going to tax the organization, but they're also not going to give the benefit of the deduction to the donor.
Wow.
So what we actually did, Tony, the first week when we thought we still had it, we said, you can use Cash App, but you just can't, it's not tax deductible. And it's just a lot of different things to say, you know, call 202-5889, use this, use that. And then by the way, if you use Cash App, you can make a donation, but you won't get the tax deduction. It became a bit wordy too. So that's why we were looking for another alternative. And then we found out that we couldn't actually collect on it. We just let it go.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I have Minerva.
Okay. A question. When we do these fund drives, we're raising money for the station. And then we also interject other nonprofits in. How much of those funds remain with the station? Because there was one done where it said a portion of the money raised was going to go to another group. Are we actually doing that? And how does that work?
Yes, we are. I've got the, I can tell you exactly how much. I just got the figures from Sataria today. It's, what we do is we're doing a 25-75 split. And so we're sending 25% of whatever we raised under that day, to that organization. And, let me just find it.
Which day is this now? Is this the Congo or which?
This is
there were a couple.
The one was the Congo. Yeah, the Congo was for a total. We're going to give the Congo $718.75 for the Congo day. And then there was another one that Margaret Prescott, who's, was a national producer. She has, she's done her fund for the Children's Alliance, and that's for $1,044 that we'll be doing. I'm trying to take care of that this week with some of the money that's coming in right now, because I think that we're obligated to fulfill what we said we were going to do. So those two are coming up. The other thing that came up just in terms of, being a challenge is dry. Well, never mind. We can talk about that later. But yeah, so that's the amounts that we're giving out this time, Minerva.
Okay, and that where does that fit? Does that fit under this program that that they were doing the training on for working with other nonprofits? Is that where?
The, I don't know, what do you, I don't know what you mean when you say.
The one that we're talking about, the underwriting. And I don't see that as being the same. So, how does the FCC and, you know, and even the IRS and the others, how does this fit in to what the station is doing since we're trying to raise money to keep our station on the air? As opposed to the other. And the one thing that came to my mind is it makes sense to even just put their link in so that if people want to donate to them, they donate to them direct. But the things that come during our fund drive that stays with the station. And I think it also took programmers off that could have possibly generated additional funds. Am I correct?
Well, that I don't know, but those specific
okay.
things with Margaret and with the Congo Day, it gave people a sense of being able to do something more with their money. They were their thank you gift. Instead of getting a T-shirt or something else, they knew that a portion of what they were providing the station goes to these different groups. And I think that's that, and you know, the type of people who listen and support WPFW also want to support, do something for these other groups. So that was part of the rationale. I understand what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, that we need every penny, but that's part of who we are. We're as much money as we need. We're still generous enough to think about others who are in even deeper need. And we're giving a small portion, 25% of whatever we collect. We told these stories. We exposed these issues. We put a spotlight on these things that people didn't know about. And as, and then what we can do, you know, sometimes people feel helpless. Help WPFW. And then by helping WPFW, we'll be also helping this group.
Okay.
Yeah, I think those things that you're discussing, those groups, the group that was the Congo group and the Children's Alliance are also nonprofits. So this fits under the 501c3 mandate that the organization do something for the public good. So the contributions that leave us that would go to the Congo or the Children's Alliance would then be recorded on the 990 for the organization as a whole, Pacifica, as charitable contributions themselves. So, you know, you essentially got a recognition, you know, by the IRS that we're fulfilling what's required under that 501c3. All right. I think we're good there. Any other questions on some of the basics on fundraising, I'm sorry, on expenses or income. All right. Our next piece on the agenda is the FY25 budget preparation. And I'll just kick this off by saying I think this committee needs to really engage. If you all know, essentially the executive director cobbled together a FY24, the current year we're in, an FY24 budget for the station. This committee is responsible for kind of vetting the budget for the station and then, you know, passing it forward once we approve to the larger LSB and then off to the National Finance Committee. And so one of the things that kind of gets lost is that local responsibility for the budget and local responsibility for reviewing it gets transferred. You know, when the executive director is doing the work, we essentially down here are just kind of catching whatever kind of dictates or mandates that come out of her review. I think we need to be a lot more intimate and closely aligned with the budget, what's happening in terms of expenses, what we feel is a, you know, investment or a cost that we want to incur because we see a benefit down the road, or something that is a cost that is really not netting any benefit per se to the organization, and, you know, begin to kind of cut those things. Obviously not overriding or overruling the general manager, but working in concert with the general manager to understand the vision and the goals of the organization here locally, and then how that fits into the budget as a living and breathing document going forward. So one of the things about the budget preparation, I kind of wanted to put a bug in everybody's ear, is really to begin to think about, you know, what the local vision is, what, you know, we see as investments that would need to be made, both, you'll talk about staffing, talk about infrastructure and technology. You talk about equipment and capital investments there. Obviously, you know, we want to cut expenses as well. So we want to do a thorough review of things like, you know, are we carrying too much expense in terms of phone coverage, or any and everything's kind of on the table. And so I just want to be able to put a bug in everybody's ear along that line, that once we get the next quarter, because we only have Q1, once we get Q2 financials out, we want to take a look at about 18 to 24 months of actual activity that's taken place at the station, and then start to think about ways in which we can assist the general manager in producing a solid budget that everyone can kind of get on board with. All right, so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about in terms of the preparation. Are there any ideas, thoughts, concerns around being a little bit more connected with the budget? Is it, anyone feel like they should be a little bit more hands-off, or you know, is this a project that we would want to take on as a group to really begin to assist in the way in which we spend our funds? Go ahead, Tony, Minerva, and then Irene.
Yeah, Kamau, in the years that I've been on the Finance Committee, the Finance Committee has always been connected with creating the budget. It was only last year, I think, that the Finance Committee wasn't really too involved in it until it was past due. But you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody, you know, here is ready. We would call, you know, a separate meeting, a separate budget meeting, to mm-hmm. go through, you know, those items, that you talked about and get it done, early, because that's one of the duties of the bylaws, is for us to, you know, to create the budget and review it every month. So yeah, I mean, you know, we here, we ready. We ready when you are.
I appreciate that. Yeah. My experience has been that a lot of the details and information has kind of been held close to the vest, you know, before, and then there wasn't really nobody was really anxious on the management side to really engage. And so just wanted to kind of get you know, check the pulse of everybody here. So I'm happy to hear that, you know, that's something that, you know, we're anxious to kind of get on board with. So yeah, definitely. We'll have, some of those scheduled out, some separate meetings, not just this review period once a month, but we'll do some interim work, to begin to kind of, you know, put into the budget, again, those investments we think maybe need to be made. And then, of course, you know, figuring out how to raise additional funds. And then, you know, lastly, trying to make sure we don't overspend in areas that aren't really bringing back a benefit for the organization. So appreciate the support, Tony, as always.
Welcome.
Minerva and then Irene.
Okay, and I want to, you know, echo what Tony is saying and just say that I think that it's been to the detriment of the board that we've not been able to, what I call, have a seat at the table to help pull these things together. And I think as we're doing it, it also includes understanding activities when they're put together. What are the expenses to put activities together versus just showing what was raised? And then I brought this forward before. There does need to be some type fund set to the side, even if it's only 5 or 10%, to be almost like funds that would be used to, if we know we're going to do something and it's a yearly event and we have to put some money down, at least $400 or $500 set aside to do that, so that, and it's going to bring it back, you know, and to work hard to make sure the event's a success. And that then would take the majority of that money and put it into the revenue side, but you still have the base that you use, so that, and when people see that, sometimes they're more ready to take part in what you're doing, as opposed to going by and saying, okay, we need all LSB board members to donate $25 to get this off the ground. So, you know, those type things, I think if, it's open and people can be engaged with it, I think we could come up with a very good budget and present it, and it would not have the impact that this current one did. Thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I agree. So basically what you're talking about is not just an overall budget for the station, but actually taking some of our major fundraising activities or other activities and actually putting together anticipated revenue from them, and then of course the anticipated costs related to them ahead of time, and not kind of scrambling. So yeah, definitely that's part of the budget process. I agree. Irene, go ahead.
Hi, Kamal, and thank you for this. Back in March, in response to a motion that you made in April that certain committees submit a budget for their expenses, I did in my report include a budget, but I don't see that line item in your finance report. It came in the form of a wish list. In order for us to be more visible and to do better outreach, we need certain items, some items. And Minerva and I worked very hard on this list, getting the quotes for the cost for these, but I don't see them in the budget. And I'm rubber stamping both Tony and Minerva. We need to know what we're going to spend in order to, or what we can spend in order to be successful. You can't have a budget without a thought of how much you're going to spend.
So remember, it's kind of tricky here. So they just wrapped up the FY24 budget, which is the one we're currently in, which will end September 30. So yeah, what you have submitted will be fully incorporated in the 25 budget, you know, as closely as possible. And so that one will start October 1st, 2024, run through 6/30/2025. And so we'll use that document along with any of the other areas, development, programming, to make sure that some of the major activities and the wish list. I mean, of course, no one gets 100% everything, but, yeah, all those things that we know the station would like to invest in, we want to bring to the table and figure a way how best to, you know, get those things done in the fiscal year. So we're talking about 25 budget. It'll start October 1st. We really need that to probably be done somewhere in July, August at the latest. And that way the National Finance Committee and their group can review it. So we've got that, and we'll definitely use that as part of the process. So appreciate it.
And that is appreciated. But many of the things that were on this wish list were in mind for some events that were upcoming. Now, one of them, there are a couple of them that may or may not happen, but the 5K run will definitely happen. And some of those things were slated to use at the 5K run.
All right, hold on. So 5K run is what day, what month are we talking about?
It's in August. It's September
August.
This
okay.
year, September 2024. There were things that would be used at the Blues Festival in August, the 5K run, and one other event that normally happens. It was U Street Jam, but that we know that's not going to happen. But those two events, there were items there on that list that we could use, we would have used for those two events.
So let me go back. I'll take a look because it could be, now I don't know for sure, but if we could find where those things were spent in the past, or are these all brand new items that would be related to the 5K? These things haven't been done before. Is this new to the 5K or is this?
No, they were not new. Like, they really weren't new to the station at all. We went back and looked at some things that actually.
Oh, good.
Some items that really did well at other events,
okay.
whether they were sold or as a giveaway, and we priced them. And that's how we did that. That was one of the methods that we used. And then there were some other things that we added, but either way,
yeah.
it improves the visibility of the station and its logo. So, and its name brand.
Let's do this. Let's take it, if we could, offline just so I can get a sense of, cause what I'm thinking, the way in which, Stephanie in the national office put together the budget for this year, it may be some money in there already. I can't say for sure, but we can try and trace back, you know, where in the past maybe some of those costs are, and maybe there's enough in there to spend against. But I can't say off the top of my head what's there, what's not. But definitely for 25, when we think about the next year, we definitely want to start that one with whatever ideas, activities you're thinking about, making sure that gets in there. So.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. I see Miyuki. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to also thank Irene for that. We are in desperate need for not only development, but marketing as well. And she's right. We need those type of branded things out there. However, every penny that I've gotten so far, everything goes to operational. I forgot to send you, Kamara, I might have sent you late. We had to pay Telerep $5,500 before they would answer phones for us during the drives. Normally, the Telerep funding is about $9,000 to $10,000. We cut it almost in half by having people answer the phones, especially on the weekends where most of the calls come in. We also have gotten some things like wristbands or magnet plates, but those things came from a major donor. Major donors like Mrs. Turner, who out of her own pocket brings a lot of these things. Mrs. Turner wanted to have the Mahalia Jackson event for us, but we spoke today, and the artist is not about in the position to donate her services. She wants a $2,000 deposit, which we don't have, so Mrs. Turner and I talked about it, so we can't do that. The other thing was, I mean, you say incorporating the budget, we're still digging from under. There's, you know, to incorporate that in the, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I didn't mute. I was coughing. Nothing about you.
Sorry.
Go ahead, please.
No problem. And so, there's nothing extra to buy things unless I can tap a major donor and say, can we, for example, Vinny wants more of those rubber bands, rubber wristbands, because we have all these different events coming up. And so I'm trying to find a major donor who's going to pay for that so that we can have those for the different events. Again, it's been the generosity of people like Mrs. Turner who has supplied those things heretofore, because honestly, everything, every penny that I spend for the station thus far in these, you know, these 60 plus days has been for operational costs. Anything that it costs for us to keep us afloat, period. Nothing, there's been no extras. Nothing extra has been spent for anything. Every penny goes to things that we need to pay the electricity, to pay for the phone bills, to pay for the telerep, and things like that to keep us aboard, above board.
Okay, thank you for that. Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay, and I'm sorry. And Miyuki, I need to share with you that Gloria called me after she spoke to you. And I shared with her, I've worked with the same lady regarding this play. And the person has never asked for funds in that manner. So I've asked her that she and I get with the individual. Like everything else, people do ask you to put down a deposit. And as you can tell, Gloria is great at what she does. But sometimes she gets a little bit confused. So that's why I work with her. Irene works with her. So we'll be reaching back. So please don't say that activity isn't going to happen. Like I told her, it can happen. We just have to turn around and make sure that we do the right things as we're putting together. We need a contract to see what she's wanting and the same information, a contract for the church. I said, we're just giving numbers off the top of our head. So please, you know, and she agreed once we talked about it. And she said, you're right. I went ahead of myself. So please, you know, don't say that's not going to happen, because we're planning that it will happen. Okay.
Thank you so much, Minerva. I thought it was a great idea, but when she said $2,000, I said no. But thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So that's number five, budget preparation. So there'll be opportunities for us in the next coming months. We'll set some meetings outside of this normal meeting. What I'd like to do, I was in the A Street office down at the station last week, and it's this very magnificent, almost wall-sized whiteboard, and I essentially fell in love with it. And I think, like, if we could, those who are willing would want to come there, and we can kind of, you know, whiteboard a lot of stuff and put it up so we can see it and visualize it and kind of make changes and talk about it as a group. I just think it adds a lot more, you know, obviously we get to see each other, but then also it adds a little bit more ease of kind of adjusting on the fly. A lot of times when you're doing these Zooms, and you're trying to present and you're trying to, you know, monitor the inbox or the visiting, I mean, the waiting room, things like that, you know, you kind of get lost in that. So it would be great for those who would like to participate if we could set something up as an in-person and then, you know, really work through it as a working, living kind of, again, document with this whiteboard, which I think could come in handy. So thank you. I think, Miyuki, you must have put that up, so I appreciate it. All right, number six, we have some motions. Now, I don't know if everybody received the email. I will bring these motions up, but I'm going to let Tony Leon, who presented a few motions, he would like this body to consider this evening. So, Tony, you have the floor, and let me go ahead and share the screen.
All right. Thank you, sir. Let me make an equipment change here real quick.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep. We got you, sir.
Okay. I'm presenting these motions in an effort to improve the operation of the organization, meaning the LSB Finance Committee, in any way possible. And so all of these motions have to do with how the Finance Committee operates as opposed as to how it's been operating in the past. So according to the membership roll call that you did in the beginning, the majority of our members are here. Majority being myself, Dennis, Lou, Eileen, Sabu, and yourself. And I don't know if you want to count Miyuki as a member. I don't think she is considered a member. I could be wrong.
No. Okay. No. So she's visiting.
Visiting. Okay. So we do have a majority, so we can take a vote on these tonight. The first motion that I want to present is the motion to implement Article 4. If you scroll down a little bit, that's the last one.
Okay. Last one? All right.
Uh-huh. And this is for people that are considered to be on the Finance Committee. And it reads, whereas there are people listed as members of this committee who have not attended meetings for several months and have not provided reasons for their absence, be it resolved that the Finance Committee implement the same procedure stated in the Pacifica bylaws for delegate removal in Article 4, Section 9, Paragraph C, to remove committee members that have stopped attending meetings. And that is, that paragraph states three consecutive unexcused absences. So I present that motion for a vote. If there's
all right,
I second.
Yeah. So got it. Right. You're on top of it. So, it's been a motion put forward, by Tony Leon, for a, adherence to the Article 4, Section 9, Paragraph C of the bylaws that all committee members, provide, that are not in attendance for three consecutive, meetings be dropped from the roll. You've had a second. Is there any discussion?
I second that.
Already seconded.
We've got a second. Any discussion? I see Eileen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to know if we would follow the same steps after three consecutive absences without any communication. Somebody would get in touch with that person to tell them that they were to be removed unless, you know, they rejoined, you know, attending the next meeting. So would we do that?
I agree. I agree. I think that's appropriate.
So. Yeah, let Tony talk.
Just checking.
I believe it's appropriate. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with this. Yeah.
Okay. I think I saw Dennis. Yep. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, I just think that, the way we're doing it now on the LSB, it's actually automatic after three, but I think just as a courtesy, it would be more efficient to, I mean, this is just practice. It doesn't need to be part of the motion, but just to check in with people after two and see if there's something going on. And you know, we may keep people that way, but either way, it doesn't matter. But I mean, we could wait until after three and ask them, or we could try to do it after two. That's all.
Yeah, I agree, Dennis. I think at the, after the second one, you know, to give them a chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just practice. I don't think that needs to be an amendment to the motion.
Right.
Agreed.
All right. Thank you for that. Any other discussion? All right. Any opposition to the motion presented? Hearing none. Motion passes. We'll send this over to the LSB on Wednesday. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay, thank you. The second motion I'm proposing is a motion to elect secretary, which is up at the top for the Finance Committee. Whereas according to parliamentary procedure, it's customary to elect a secretary to record proceedings, call meeting to order when there is no vice chair, and preside until the election of a chair pro tem. The secretary should also keep a record of the proceedings. And whereas all committees of the WPFW-LSB have a recording secretary except the Finance Committee, and whereas the election of a secretary would lessen the task currently being done by the chair himself, resolve that the Finance Committee promptly hold an election for 2024 secretary. What it should say is for the remainder of 2024.
With an amendment to remainder of 2024, I second that motion.
Okay, Kamal, excuse me. This is Minerva, real quick.
There are other people before you.
Is it only your members? I see people that are lined. Is it only the members of the actual Finance Committee now that can be engaged in this conversation?
No, we allow anyone that wants to have a discussion about the motion, they can speak to it, speak about it. It's actually the members that are responsible for voting up or down a particular motion. So anyone can speak.
Okay. But I'm saying, saying I second the motion. That's members only for right now, correct?
It should be. Why? Did someone who was not a member
second it? No, I'm just asking because I just want to be sure. And I'm trying to look back. Yeah. I thought at some point I sent something to join the committee, but I'm going to wait until all this is finished and I'll move forward. Okay.
All right. So yes. That is correct. It should be seconded by a member of the committee. Anyone who'd like to speak to it can. I do see Dennis. Go ahead, sir.
Legacy hand.
Okay. Eileen, yes.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by this first paragraph. It seems like it's kind of leaving out the fact that there is a chair already. This is... seems to be for the occasion, you know, before there's a chair that's been elected, but the chair, isn't our chair always going to be, the treasurer, that being you right now, Kamau, or could somebody else be the chair? It's just kind of leaving that out in this first paragraph. Yeah. I'm confused.
Maybe I wasn't clear on that, but the intention was a meeting where the chair has not appeared yet.
Okay. I think we should just clarify that.
Okay.
Hold on. I think it's pro temp and then,
I think it's just pro tem, no P in there. There's no P.
Pro tem. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And I would also, just for formality's sake, not say theirs, but there is no vice chair.
I was just going to ask that. Is there a vice chair?
No, there hasn't been.
There's no vice chair.
So maybe we should remove that unless we plan on having one.
I don't think we should remove that.
I think that should stay. I don't accept that amendment.
Okay. The only thing is that it's suggesting that there is an election of a chairman. Now, I don't know. It's always been that, I think, to Eileen's point, that the treasurer was the chair. So I don't know if there's an election that needs to take place for that particular officer's position. But then the vice chair, which doesn't exist currently, nor does the secretary currently exist.
So the secretary was to preside if there's no vice chair and the chair was absent.
Okay.
Preside until there is an election for a pro tem chair. If the chair is absent. That was the intent of that phrase.
A pro tem chair for that particular meeting.
Right. Right. So maybe for that particular meeting could be inserted.
Point of clarification, does the bylaw say that the treasurer is the chair? I'm not sure it does. Yeah, because that may not be the case in all.
Right. That's true. The treasurer doesn't have to be the chair.
I think it says they have to serve.
The treasurer doesn't even have to be an LSV member.
Yeah, I think it says they have to serve, but not they have to be a chair.
That's how I read it. Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to change this in any way then, or is that? I think it says then the election is fine, right?
Is that good? Yes, I'm good with.
Okay.
With the amendments, right? As they are.
It needs a little tidying up with punctuation and things. But.
Yeah, I got you. So one more thing before we go to a quick vote on this. You want to resolve that this is promptly held. So you want to do that tonight if we pass this?
Yes. If the committee is willing.
All right. You've heard the motion to elect a secretary for the finance committee. It's been seconded and we've had a discussion. Is there any opposition to the motion? Okay. Hearing none, motion passes. Tony, we'll come back to the election of the secretary after you go through your last motion here.
Great. The last motion is right below it, and it says, whereas the LSB is in the process of hiring a new GM and that the person should not have to contend with unaccounted for finances, and whereas it is not the duty of the treasurer or the interim general manager to audit the records of the organization, and whereas audits should be conducted using firewalls of generally accepted accounting principles, resolve that the WPFW Finance Committee recommend that the WPFW LSB seek and hire an independent professional to audit WPFW finances as soon as possible.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Lou seconded. Second. Okay. Any discussion? Dennis, I see your hand.
Yeah. So it's, the idea is that the LSB should, seek and hire an independent professional. I think that makes sense. I'm just trying to get to the how. And cause, you know, somebody has to actually do that work and sort of find somebody, recommend somebody. And, you know, the LSB can approve it, but the LSB as a whole can't actually do it. And my first thought would be that that's something that some person or persons on the finance committee should actually, you know, do the outreach, because, you know, in terms of who has the expertise to identify and find the people to recommend the people to do the work. I would actually be inclined to kick that back to the Finance Committee. I'm not sure how that affects the motion, but I just wanted to put that context in. That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah, the how. I got you on that,
yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
I see Eileen, Irene, and then Minerva. So, Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, it seems like a difficult task just because I'm not sure we have all the records in our hands. Are they in Markeisha's hands now? And we would definitely need support from her to put together some of the information. And it sounds like that would be difficult these days because she's kind of up to her eyeballs every day. But maybe there's a way. The other thing is, question for you, Kamal. Would this be, what is called an internal audit? I've heard of those. I don't really know much about what those are. And would that be more appropriate? And is an audit the proper or best vehicle for, our objectives here? Or would some other kind of, effort be more useful to us? I'm just hoping that you know more about this than I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll, let me go through the stack. I have some feedback on that. I do think audit is probably not the word, but, for lack of a, well, I'll talk about it. Let me go through the stack and then, we can kind of, I'll give you my thoughts. But Irene, Minerva, and then Miyuki.
So I provided a list of companies to the PMB, that conducted audits, whether forensic, internal, and each of them come with some recommendations. Pro bono. All you gotta do is Google it. You get a list of companies, very reputable companies that do, audits pro bono. You don't have to pay for them. So I think it's important that we do this because there are certain organizations that require audits in order for us to get funding, in order for us to be able to apply for certain grants. So we have to do this as a 501c3. So I think that we should do this expeditiously. Identify one of these pro bonos and engage them as soon as possible. That's all I have.
All righty. Thank you. Minerva, then Miyuki.
Okay. And I was trying to look for it, but I think I sent something out similar to what's being said here to the LSB with the different types of everything wasn't called an audit and I can't find it right now, but I 100% agree that this should be done because as I stated in my write up, most organizations do have someone look at their books before someone else takes over. And it's not to point fingers or anything, but it's to look at practices and see where there might be areas that might need some clarification. But I agree 100%. There are people out here that will do it. There are members of the WPFW family that would probably be willing to do it to help the station out. And I run into a problem when right away what I hear is we don't have everything. We don't know what this person or whoever selected can do with what we already have to work with. And so, you know, I would just hope that we think about this in a very positive manner. And also I feel that yes, it should come back to the Finance Committee. And if people want to give recommendation of names or whatever, or do what Irene said, then it would be on the committee to go and kind of, look for that group or that person to do this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Miyuki?
Yes, I think it's a great idea. I would really appreciate if the audit or the forensic accounting go back at least 2 or 3 years so we can get an idea of the trend and how we got in the position that we're in today. And I think it's a wonderful thing to do. I also, I think to Eileen's point, I don't think that, I think, you know, Minerva's right, we should try, but it is difficult. It's been difficult for me to find records because the computer was deleted. The computer's, Annette in particular, was deleted. A lot of information was deleted. And perhaps through Markeisha, we can get some of the information. I just know that it is... just, you know, it's just challenging. It's been challenging me. Just, you know, I always hold my breath because I don't get all the bills because I don't have everything connected to my email. It's connected to somebody else's. So it's going to take some work, but I think if we could do it, we could set a, you know, again, a time period, maybe even before 3 or 4 years because we're already into what, halfway, we're over halfway through 2024. So yeah, if we could go back to 2021, 22, 23, I think that would be, informative. And I think that'd be very helpful. So. I'd appreciate that. I think it'd be a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene.
I just want to add that, sure, most of the audit companies will tell you how to move forward on certain things, what you did wrong, what you weren't doing before, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the lesson learned here. Is never have one person holding records to your finances. That's the lesson learned. And so, and that's what is evident to me. You never have one person holding the key or the, your situation and not be able to copy it. And an audit firm nowadays, especially the forensic ones, will tell you that and they will to give you pointers on how to move in the future. So we, yeah, well, you do need this and they will probably go back years. You just have to, Miyuki, somebody else. But Miyuki, we just have to engage them and let them know what it is that's needed. Cause from what I understand, we do need to go back in order to be qualified for certain grants and stuff. So we do need a certain amount of years of auditing in order to qualify for money. So yeah, these folks will do that. You just need to find the one that will. And I'm happy to Google a list for you guys as well to move pass on. I will do that. But yeah, I gave it to the PMB and I will give it to you as well.
All righty. Thank you. I see Lou Wolf.
Yes, sir. Yes, all. Forgive me, please, for my lateness, my extreme lateness. I was in another Zoom meeting and couldn't get in sooner. I want to go back to what I heard Miyuki say, in regard to some of our financial records, according to what I heard, were deleted. How did that happen? Do you know, or does anyone here know?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You want me to do it?
No, I was just going to say the point that the transition happened, we've been looking for, so big picture, we've been looking for, and I said this at the last LSB, the point of financial auditing or financial reviews or any of that is to essentially trace the source documents, meaning receipts, invoices from vendors, checks that are written. These are all source documents to trace that activity to the financial statements. All right. So how does that receipt for, you know, payment to the phone company, that receipt, how does that then show up in the financial statements? The other side of the coin is to take the financial statements and say, okay, what makes up this account that you're calling consultants? What's in there? And begin to understand, okay, that transaction has 40 different little hits, you know, $50 here, $100 here. Adding all that up, where does the source document for that activity exist? So you trace both ways. One of the things that I was attempting to do when to fill in for the absence of Annette is to go back and understand how she recording all the source documents now. So Annette is the source, how that activity actually got to the financial statements that we see and review here on a regular basis. There has to be somebody talking to the national office. Annette does not produce that activity, the financial statement. So where is the communication? That's essentially what I have yet to find out where that is. Where's the actual communication that says, hey, national office, this is what we did this month. All right. And so that's my piece of it. I'll let Miyuki give the rest of it. But that is yet, and I told, I want to say it might have been Bill Curtis. Somebody asked me at the LSB last month, and that's been the activity I've been trying to find out. And so we're still working on that. But go ahead, Miyuki. I don't interrupt.
It's okay. At some point, Mo Thomas decided to clean some emails out of some private and proprietary information because, as most of us do, I guess, people use their email for their personal as well as professional use. And in order to clean some of that stuff up, he cleaned out more than maybe he had intended. I'm not sure what happened. He said he restored it, but I cannot find those things that he said he restored. And he just explained it to me that he was trying to protect some proprietary stuff. So since that happened, anyone who leaves PFW, I immediately have their email shut down so that can't happen again. That happens in most different companies that you work in. And I also, deactivate the FOB right away. And, there's nothing more I can do with that. Oh, I did want
to. Lou. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to add what Minerva said. I've been asking Kamau to get the books together as best as he can because I'm at the point where I like to approach major donors, and I cannot approach major donors without books. They want to see what it is that we do and how we spend. They want to see all the stuff that you guys are asking for, and there's nothing. So I welcome an audit because that will help us produce our documents, and I welcome the opportunity to be able to create the books that I can show major donors that maybe we can get larger sums of money in grants.
All right. Lou, does that answer any of your
questions? Well, it does, but I will simply suggest that this points out that whoever and however this happened, whether it was Mo or otherwise, this is serious. I mean, those records are infinitely important to the station. And how can we pay our bills if we don't know what the original root documents were or root purchases and so forth? So I don't know. This is the first I knew about this, and it's very disturbing. That's all.
Well, let me try and give you a little bit of assurance. There's a bunch of paper at the office that we've been going through. What I'm talking about in terms of the situation I'm trying to enlighten everybody about is all of that paper has to be put together in a manner that's presentable on the financial statement. I need to know how the former business manager produced the information that then gets into the financial statement. Are we calling everything that Verizon does a phone bill, or is there website cost in there? Are we splitting that up? There's a whole different way in which, and this is where audits really come into play. They want to see why we're calling office expense at $30,000 office expense. And they'll go back and say, show me the invoices that make up this $30,000. Okay. So what I want to caution everybody against with this audit thing is what the first thing the auditor, worth his salt, his or her salt, is going to ask for is going to be the general ledger. All right. The general ledger does not exist at WPSW. That is a wholly Pacifica national office, formulation, the general ledger. All right. So what may end up happening, and again, this is not to prevent anybody from doing what we need to do, but just be aware that now what you're asking an auditor to do is essentially look at bank statements, review, you know, checks that were written, so on and so forth. That's great. That may not tell you the story, because now how does that activity get translated into what ultimately is the position, the financial position of the organization? All right. And so what we want to do, and this is what I'll add to follow up to Eileen's question, is in this motion, I would definitely put a time frame that we want this particular audit to take place. Are we looking at fiscal year 20, 21, 22, 23, whatever years we want to look at? We want to make sure that's in this motion. That way there's no confusion. You know, why didn't the auditor do this? Why didn't they do that? We're going to make sure that everybody knows what period of activity we're looking at. Also, I would say that the audit, we can add this language in, instead of just simply calling it an audit and or financial review. That way, when we go out and seek a vendor, we're not asking them just to simply do an audit. We actually want them maybe potentially to do a little bit lesser foray into our financials by doing a financial review. All right. So there's a couple different things I think we should probably add to that. I do think, and I don't know how the P&B feels about this. It sounds like it might have made its way up there already. But I do feel like when you start throwing around the word audit, everybody's ears perk up, right? So we just want to make sure that when we start to do this, that we're going to have buy-in, y'all, from the national body. So let's just make sure they're ready to give this particular auditor what they need in order to review the financial activity. So we got to make sure we keep the pressure there that this auditor is able to get the information they need. And then there was one other thing, Eileen, I think you asked me, and I can't remember what it was. Was it the time? So I'll be honest, I don't know the bandwidth that Markeisha has. She's a solo act, y'all. She's literally one person. And you got one person managing it for all five stations, affiliates, so on and so forth, and, you know, trying to kind of cobble together information from prior years may not come, you know, forward as quickly. I can't get things a couple months ago. So we're talking about a couple years back, might not be the easiest. So just let's keep that all in mind as we move through this process. We want to lock in a time period, I think, so that the auditor that is hired understands the scope, and then also that we can put on notice the national office, you know, hey, look, we've got somebody, they want to look at these years. Do you have these records available? All right. Go ahead, Eileen. I think, Dennis, your hand is a legacy hand. Or is it not? I don't know.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Legacy. Okay. So I have Eileen, Irene, and Marcia.
Yeah, I had a few things. I've forgotten half of them at least. But I think the way the information was transmitted by Annette was, you know, first to Netta, she basically just scanned everything and sent it that way to Netta. And I think Netta just followed whatever we'd had before. So you know, they'd see a phone company and call a telephone and blah, blah, blah. And I bet Annette has been doing pretty much the same thing to send information to Markeisha. This was always a thing. I've harped on this at different times over the past few years about the coding, because, you know, you have, when an audit is done, you have to distinguish between your project expenses, your fundraising expenses, and your administrative slash management expenses. So, you know, you might have, if you have $30,000 in a phone bill, you know, some of that might have been used for, I don't know, for broadcasts or whatever. And some of it for, you know, general, administrative work or, you know, plus maybe some, you know, calls to donors or whatever. Normally you have to split that stuff up, maybe each month or with a percentage or somehow. Then there's a lot of other things. You know, I saw grade variations when I did get to see books and reports in how consultants were classified. It's like the whole thing was never, I think, really well defined, laid out. We had talked, who were we talking about this with? Maybe with Netta, about sort of redoing the chart of accounts and, or at least explaining really well for the five, for all of Pacifica, how to, code different things, you know, what each code really encompassed. I have a feeling that we were very general. I hadn't seen it, but I'm going to suspect that we were very general with any coding we did for WPFW specifically. So that's a problem to start with. Also, you should know that it took Netta much longer than they expected. It took them really like 2.5 years or something to be able to reconstruct a lot of the books of Pacifica, which were a mess and had really been neglected for a long time. So with WPFW, I mean, there are, you know, organizational audits that exist and they're, you know, the auditors required information from each station, including WPFW. So some of that info might be helpful, but when did they leave us? Like almost 2 years ago now? So I have no idea the info could possibly be in and how somebody could, you know, thrash through it. I'm sorry, I'm not getting to a point because I've kind of lost my train of thought.
No.
But, you know,
I definitely hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. And also, I'm, you know, sorry to say that when our former, she was not, I wouldn't call her the business manager, but at least, you know, the, I don't know, administrative assistant, when she was being asked for the supporting information for some of the expenses and even some of the income, she didn't seem to have a clear view of what that meant. Like she would just send a bank statement, like, here's the expense, you know, there's the amount of the expense. Yeah, we know that the expense was made, but, you know, like you were saying, Kamau, you need the invoice. You need to see the approval of whoever is authorized to approve expenses. And you should see the coding, you know, make sure it's going, being attributed to the right place. So there's a lot of stuff that goes with it that with providing that information that I'm not sure, former staff really had a very good grasp of. So I don't know. I don't know what's available and, you know. Sorry.
No. There's a lot to it. So I just want everybody to be prepared that it's not something that someone's going to parachute in and knock out in a couple of days or two. And to your point, Eileen, about reconstructing the financials, that's a professional firm with, I'm sure, many, many man hours. So let's, you know, whoever we choose, let's just make sure they got the bandwidth to take care of it because it's not going to be, you know, a couple weeks, I don't think. But I have Irene. No, wait. I thought Marsha was next. Let's go Irene, yeah. Marsha, and then Tony.
Kamau, I agree. We can't anticipate what the auditor will need. They can tell us what they need because they're the professionals at being auditors. And we're on K Street Road. We're located on, man, you have so many auditors and finance folks on K Street that we should be able to make some friends and be able to engage. They will tell us what they need. If we can't get it, they will make the necessary adjustments to do whatever's possible to ensure that an audit is complete. We just need to give them a time frame and what they need to do and ask them and let them know that we're pro bono. We can't, it's not our position to be able to provide them with everything unless they ask us for it. We can't anticipate that. So we find one that can do pro bono, find one that can do pro bono within the situation that we need, whatever the time frame it is, and then we go with that because we do need professional audit in order to qualify for funds available. So we need this. We need it as soon as possible. Let's not go on witch hunting. Let's go with what we need, why we need it, how we need it, how soon we need it in order to move forward, because that's what is important to me. How we're going to move forward to be where we need to be as WPFW.
All right. Thank you, Irene. Marcia, and then Tony. Marcia, you're up. Going once. Going twice. All right, Tony, go ahead and we'll come back to Marcia. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay. It sounds like everyone who I've heard speak is in agreement that this audit / financial review is something that would be good for the station. And, I had suggested that the LSB be recommended to the LSB because there are 24 people on the LSB, that's 24 people who have possible ideas for resources, that we could reach out to get this done. The other thing is, as Eileen talked about access to records. I know it would be difficult to get anything from Pacifica being, just one person there, that's doing the work for.
I was clicking on unmute and nothing was happening.
But,
I'm unmuted.
Locally, we have access to bank statements, as I recall, that Kamau stated, previous week. Right. And so, although bank statements don't tell how things were coded, they do show expenses and they show income. And you can go back. Depending on the bank, you can go back several years with viewing bank statements. And then Kamau already started doing a spreadsheet with the information, which served to be some type of help. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? Yeah, so, I mean, this task to me appears so enormous for just, Miyuki and Kamau to do alone, because they have other things. Miyuki definitely has other things to do with the station, and she has a personal life. Kamau has a personal life and a full-time job. So it's just, it seems improper that we get an independent entity to do this, that way it could be done as promptly as possible. Let's see what else. Yeah. So I, you know, with that motion and everything that is said, you know, if you all want to, in the finance committee want to, make some amendments, propose some amendments in writing, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with not, you know, passing this tonight. And, we can work on it, you know, a little bit more, get it fine tuned. I'm okay with that. Or we can vote on it tonight, make amendments tonight and move forward with it.
Okay. Hold that thought. I'm going to go to Marcia and then we'll circle back and see what we're going to do as a committee. You ready, Marcia?
Yeah. Sorry about that. I was clicking mute on my computer and nothing was happening. I just wanted to say I'm really happy that there's talk of an audit or whatever term we want to use to describe going through the books and trying to develop a pathway to find out what needs to be done to put us in better standing. I would only like to make one suggestion past what's been said already, and that we extend the examination period at least a couple of years before the last permanent administration, because even though I haven't been vocal for the past 43 years, I've been listening and I've been talking to folk who are volunteering and getting paid at the station. So this problem, this fiscal mystery, isn't anything that's peculiar to the interim administration now, the immediate past administration. And so I think in order to get a real feel for what's going on and how to make some really positive moves going forward, we need to start from before this last 8 or 10 years, however long the immediate past general manager was here. Thanks. Oh, plus, and to take advantage of that free help that we've been trying to get to the station for the last 2 years that seemed to just get slow walked. A wonderful, wonderful source of information as far as people in the fiscal accounting and economics, community. So I hope this time we can pick up and actually do something with it. Cause I think there's help out there to be had and help that, as it was stated earlier, that we can get pro bono. Thanks.
Okay. All right. So we've heard everything. I think that's the last hand. Thank you all for your input and your comments. So on the motion, so I think the edits, probably are in both scope and time period. So we want to call this audit and or review, and or review instead of just making it a full blown audit. That's something we want to update.
Kamal, can we do this as a recommendation? And then as we, for the LSB situation, we sort of fine tune it to what we talked about tonight.
So,
right?
So what I would suggest, well, hold on. What I would suggest, okay. if you wanted to go quicker, we cobble it together here, make sure it passes committee, then we don't need anything in the LSB meeting to be seconded. It goes right to the table for discussion and we can vote on it. And people can also do amendments there as well. But I think we want to pass something here as a motion, make sure it gets out of committee so that we can see it in its full bloom at the actual LSB.
Yes.
Got it. And I agree. Thank you.
Okay. Lou, did you want to say something but before we try and get these things together here? Or
yes, real quick. I missed it, I guess, in the first part of the meeting. How much did we make in this fund drive?
Oh wow, went back on me.
Can we stay on this topic before we?
Yeah. Let me. I'll give it to you, Lou. Give me a second here, okay?
226, 329.
There you go. Go ahead. Say it again.
$226,329.
Thank you.
Righty. Appreciate it, Tony. Whereas it is not the duty, oh no, that's not what we want. Not the duty of the IGM to audit the records, whereas it should be conducted using firewalls. Yep. Seek to hire an independent professional to audit and or review.
Conduct
WTFW finances ASAP. Go ahead again. What did you say?
I was thinking conductor review. Also, do we need using the firewalls? I don't know if that makes, using general accepted accounting principles.
Yep, that's all you need. I agree.
I don't know what, yeah.
Okay. Time frame. I heard Marcia wanted to go back. I don't know. I haven't been around long enough. So how long was the prior administration? Was Gary there for how many years?
10.
He was hired in 2015, but Pacifica has done audits all the way up through 2021, Eileen. Was the last audit or 2020?
2021. Let me look on my computer and figure that out.
And I'm going to tell you, no auditor is going to go beyond 3 years because that's a tax liability situation. So it's going to be 3 years back, more than likely.
When was the last one I've ever done?
Go back to 2015.
I'll leave it to the committee. How far back do you all want to go? But I'm not sure what you mean by tax liability, though. I mean, what does that mean?
When we talk about taxes and tax liability, et cetera, the IRS only recognizes the last 3 years. So the auditors may or may not only recognize the last 3 years. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And
all right, well, go ahead.
This Minerva, I don't think we're putting anything together here for the IRS. We're getting a better understanding of what the financial situation is and has been for the station. And if Pacifica has done some audits previously, all we would do is ask them for a copy of that information. For the whomever you have that's gonna look at this, that would give them at least somewhere to begin to start. So, you know, we're not talking IRS here at all. We're just talking about getting our books together.
And I understand that. And I understand that. But when we're talking about pro bono and what they will do pro bono, that might be their limitations. I'm not saying it is because I don't really know, but that may be the their situation.
Well, and this is Minerva. I think we would let them tell us. They'll tell us if that's their situation. So
exactly.
That keeps us from trying
exactly.
to figure that out. Okay.
Exactly.
Can I add right. something here? We have, I know that we've done, you know, complete Pacifica audits through 2021. I don't know if they continue to do them after that because I've been out of touch or something. And also we should make sure that we know what our objectives are. The second line here is that, you know, well, or the first and second lines are that we need the IGM or the GM to know what our financial status is. So we need current information. We need to catch up and be able to, you know, guarantee or understand our current information and then go back. I mean, why do we want why do we want to go back further than 2 or 3 years? What is the purpose? I think we need to define that more clearly. Otherwise, I would say just, you know, I mean, we have the numbers through whenever the last full audit was, even if we don't know everything, you know, the detail of what made them up, we have some of it. We would have to get that background information maybe from whoever did. Did somebody do a 2022 audit?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I think.
Come on, this one over real quick. From the Pacifica Finance Committee meetings, I thought that in those meetings that Stephanie did say that they only had, that there was a 22 done. They only had to do 23, or was it 22 and 23? But I thought they did mention, I don't remember 21 being the last one, but that's something that was was said. I thought she said there was only a couple they needed to do.
You know what? I can
My understanding is that 2022 and 2023 still need to be completed for the organization.
Okay, so if it was done, it would have been put on the Pacifica site.
So let me look. Exactly. So I propose that we put in 24, 23, and 22.
Yeah, there's no fiscal year 22 tax return or audit up here.
Mm.
We didn't do the tax return? Oh, crap.
No, the 990s aren't done yet.
Oh, man.
Okay. Remember, the firm left. Anyway, that's the sidebar. So, all right. So we've got a couple of edits here. I don't know if anyone else has something they want to add or subtract. Oh, time period. I'm sorry. So, Tony, you proposing to go from fiscal 22, fiscal 23, fiscal 24. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Conduct an audit.
Fiscal 24.
Financial review.
We're in the middle of it.
Yeah. They may, you don't know when they'll come in. I mean, if it's available, you really can't audit books till the year is closed, but we'll see how close we come. And then maybe they'll do a review of 24, something like that. The FY 22, FY 23, and 24.
To date or something.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
So we had time period. I heard someone say, what's the purpose or goal? Do we want to state when what? Or to better understand, are we trying to just make, because I don't, I could be wrong. I don't think this particular audit or review is going to necessarily translate into an automatic, you know, hey, this organization has been reviewed. They're good to go for grants or whatever. Because remember now, the tax ID is owned solely by Pacifica.
Yes.
We're just kind of, you know, subsidiaries to that larger tax ID. So anything that gets submitted under the umbrella of Pacifica. So when we're talking about submitting financials, yes, we have financials for PFW, but I don't know if in the grant process, is it something that the local entity supplies the grantee with or grantor?
No.
Or is it the larger Pacifica?
So
go ahead.
Larger.
Yeah.
The larger. Okay. So just be aware, there's a lot of moving parts, but I do think we need to get this established first. Let's go ahead and see what we can get pro bono, and then you know, move forward with what we have to do as an organization to kind of make ourselves presentable. So in order to produce an accurate...
Somehow incorporate the first two sentences here, you know, that,
under resolve?
No, that a GM and treasurer or whatever.
Keep going. Kamal. We'll finish what you were going to write.
Okay.
Accurate accounting
of the
Remember, all of this is Tony.
Fiscal
of our
right the our fiscal.
Yeah. I want to hear Kamal's line here. Let's do that.
Finance. All right. So
position.
The last resolved reads resolved that that the WPFW Finance Committee recommend to the WPFW LSB recommend that the WPFW LSB seek and hire an independent professional to audit and or conduct a financial review of the fiscal 22, 23, and 24 year-to-date WPFW finances in order to produce an accurate accounting of our financial position.
That's it. That was my intent.
Anybody have anything else they'd like to add, subtract? I think you were saying something, Eileen. I don't know if you. No big deal. Okay.
The only thing that I would like to add is that you guys are discounting the fact that IRS is involved, but any 501c3 situations is tied to the IRS, and IRS says 3 years. So, and I'm glad that our situation is falling within the 3 years that is required, because that's what the IRS requires, at least 3 years. Doesn't matter whether you're a personal or a company or small business, everything goes back to that IRS, because our 501c3 status is determined by the IRS, not by small business, but by IRS. Note that. Don't discount that.
Okay. All right. Now, Did you want to add anything to the language? Oh, yep. Go ahead, Minerva.
I don't want to add anything or subtract anything. I just want y'all to keep that in mind. That's all.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just responding to Irene. We have to remember that when the IRS information is sent, it's not just sent for WPFW. It's sent for all the stations from Pacifica. So what we're doing right now is just to make sure those of us who are part of this station, part of the LSB, that we have an understanding of what's taking place with the finances here. And definitely not looking for this to be any kind of witch hunt about anything, because if we go back, we could probably tap a bunch of people. But right now, we just want to understand so that going forward, some of the things that may have been in play before doesn't happen again, that everyone's aware, because no one knew anything about this and who had the ability to ask for what and see what and do what. And now we know. So let's just kind of make sure that even when we hand it over to Pacifica, we've got an understanding of what's going on with the station and where the monies are expended and what the revenues coming in are. So that's mainly what I'm seeing this as. I don't see this as anything about the IRS, because they have not come to WPFW and said and pointed their finger and said, you XYZ. They're talking about Pacifica, and we want to be sure we're right when they come to look at all the stations, that WPFW is right with their numbers and things.
Thank you. Eileen, and then we'll go to a vote, or just go to our... Go ahead, Eileen.
Muted. Okay. Only a little off topic. What are we doing now to have better policies and procedures, or procedures at least, so, you know, going forward, we're not in this morass of information that we can't find. Do we have new processes or anything like that? We don't want to
add to the
pile of stuff, right? Sorry, go on.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. I think my suggestion has been to the interim general manager, and also to the national office in general, we need to have a very well defined internal controls, what it is that we do to make sure that what financial information is coming in, is conducted, is done so that we have proper separation of duties, proper authorization, so on and so forth. So there is actually in place right now a situation where check requests are being made to the national office where expenditures shouldn't be going out without the approval of at least the general manager locally and the executive director nationally. Those things aren't written up, Eileen, and that's one of the things that I think we need to really focus on in terms of the organization as a whole is putting in writing what those controls are, how we practice or how we account for all of our financial information. So I agree with you. There's probably
I've been saying this stuff for years, years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No,
at both the local and the national level just to, you know, reclaim something or other.
Yep. Nah, I totally understand. And we're working on it. This is, you know, Rome was not built in a day. So we'll get there. All right, I'm going to try and close this out so we can – we're already at 9:15. I think we're unanimous on this, but I'll go Minerva, Irene, and then get to our final here.
Okay, and Eileen, the Finance Committee on the national level is also looking to put some things in place for the different stations. So it's not just us thinking about this. It's the other, you know, it's, and I guess it's like this 2024 is a awakening for the national plus the local boards and the stations on what has to be done to get us back on track. So everybody that can listen to the national finance meetings and they're talking about the very same things that we're talking about here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene.
And I want to say, listen to the national PMB meetings as well. Here's the thing. We need to have proper checks and balances in place. And that is very important to any organization, whether you are a for-profit or is 501c3. But we do need to have those checks and balances in place. And we need to watch them and adhere to them, regardless of who we are, especially when we are, we have to adhere to what the public wants us to do. We do need that. Just my.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Irene. All right. We have the motion as presented with its edits. Do we have any opposition to the motion as presented now? Irene, is that a legacy hand or are you saying that you have some opposition? Okay, hand down. And all right, hearing, go ahead, Irene. Are you?
It's down again.
All right. Hearing none, the motion passes. So we'll go ahead and get these three up to the LSB for Wednesday's meeting. And like I said, we'll be able to present these. I think Dennis is still here. So this may be, I don't know if it'll be part of the Finance Committee piece or new business or what, but Ellen will have them. And then we can do what we need there. And questions. I have two more points on the agenda, questions, and then we adjourn. So anything else that we have on our minds? Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, we still have to elect a secretary, right?
Oh, my gosh. I went so long on this. All right. So any nominations from the body? Let me give you the members currently. And if no member would like to do it, let me stop sharing. We can always Not sure what the rules around this are, because believe it or not, the treasurer does not have to be a member of the LSB. But I don't know if that goes for the secretary as well. It might, but someone will have to correct me on that. I don't know off the top. All right. The members of the committee are, well, Dennis is de facto member of all the committees, but I'll name him. You have Dennis Williams, Tony Leon, Lewis Wolf, Huey Hewitt, Eileen Rosin, Abu Hakim, Kathleen Malloy. Those are your current members of the committee. So you have those seven that we can open up the nominations for. I'm actually going to excuse Dennis. He's not really going to be part of this discussion. But Tony, Lou, Julie, Eileen, Sabu, Kathleen are all available to take that, to accept nominations if they'd like. If not, we can always extend it out to non-members. Is there any nominations for secretary? Go ahead, Tony.
I nominate Eileen.
I was afraid of that.
Eileen, would you like to accept your nomination?
No. I guess. All right, I can try to do that.
Any other nominations for secretary? You have one nomination. Any other nominations? Go on once. All right. Eileen, you've accepted your nomination. Is there any opposition to the election of Eileen as our Finance Committee Secretary? I see your hand, Tony. You have something new?
No.
For that old legacy. Okay.
Okay.
Hearing none, we are casting one unanimous vote for Eileen Rosin for our Secretary for the Finance Committee for the rest of the fiscal year. Thank you so much, Eileen, for accepting. I still have your number, so let's circle the wagons and talk about how we want to do some interim meetings in and around the budget process as well. And then also just getting ourselves prepared for the next meeting, full meeting of the committee. So, all right, okay. Great.
I can't attend LSB meetings because I have a different commitment on Wednesdays. So.
Okay. Gotcha. Good to know.
Thank you. Thank you, Eileen.
All right. All right. I'm so happy.
You're so happy.
One unanimous vote. Yes. Thank you. All right. Is there
Come
any
on.
Other
let's
questions?
Talk soon and figure it out.
Yeah. Definitely. Any other questions before we try and wrap up? Any other questions? Yes, Lou.
This is just a PS, so I'll only take 30 seconds. Many of you are probably aware that there's another organization in town that has never, ever been audited. Anybody want to guess?
Government.
Are you going to go federal government or something? Where are you going to go?
The Pentagon.
Pentagon, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pentagon. Yeah, that's right. We should feel good about that, or?
Well, maybe we should pass a resolution to force them to do so, but that'll never happen. That's all right.
That'll never happen, man.
Get up to the PNB.
Yeah.
Good one. Thank you, Lou.
Sure.
Good night, everybody.
Any other concerns? No? Going once, going twice. All right, I'll see everybody or most everybody on Wednesday. Thank you for the motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Very, very productive.
Motion to adjourn.
Productive meeting.
Don't talk over
him. Let me.
What's he saying?
Golly. Yell over, brother. Okay. Right. Hearing no other questions, motion to adjourn. Anybody got a second?
Second.
Second.
All right. Third. Thank you all.
See Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
All righty.
Long and prosperous.
Yep. Bye-bye. Yeah.